Hello and warm greetings. I'm Liz Miller and you've tuned in for another frequency shifting, mind stretching, heart opening edition of Otherware, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. Broadcasting to you from Melbourne down under. In the background, you're hearing what I can hear outside my window, a sound that an entire nation of Australians has been waiting for. Rain, and not just a brief shower, which is all we've had for months and months, but a steady, plentiful downpour that may help save some of us from new, stricter water restrictions. It's been a long, long drought down here, and our country has been really suffering, especially the farmers. It's the perfect opening soundtrack for our show today too, by the way, and demonstrates how all is always in divine order, as this provides us with the most beautiful opportunity to go straight into our hearts and feel deeply grateful. I know I am. And we do have so much to be grateful for. Thank you for joining me in the cyberspace noosphere as we cover all 25 of the world's time zones as we go out on this broadcast. And no matter which one you're in, I'm delighted that you've joined us. This is our first official broadcast on the new BBS Radio canned stream too, which makes Otherware a little harder to find on the schedule. So to all of you who've made it here, we're going to be glad that you have. This week, you're going to be treated to a sumptuous and soothing feast for your senses as we explore the power of sound and music to heal. We all know it does, of course, as everyone at least once in their lives has experienced this firsthand. If you love music as much as I do, it's hard to imagine anyone in the world not having had the experience of hearing music that either triggered them into an ecstatic state, or this, which is a lot more common, just listening to music to soothe a broken heart. You know, I think we've all done that. During today's program, all of the divinely inspired and strikingly beautiful pieces of music that you'll hear are composed by this week's guest, who I'm going to keep a secret for the moment, except for what you're hearing right now and the rather sci-fi inspired Otherware intro, which are by Melbourne musician Peter Burke, who's a dear friend, and he also wrote the music for the Hollywood films The Insider and Ali, and he was actually nominated for a Golden Globe for his work on The Insider because it really is extraordinary music. After this first segment, you will hear some of the finest healing sounds and music currently being produced in the world. It is used in hospitals, health retreats, hospices, offices, and homes all over, and many, many people have experienced remarkable healings through listening to it. Besides a Bachelor of Science degree in filmmaking from Boston University, my upcoming guest holds a Master's degree in the Independent Study on Sound Healing from Lesley College. He's also a lecturing member of the International Society for Music and Medicine and the director of the Sound Healers Association, a non-profit organisation dedicated to education and the awareness of sound and music for healing. And that serves as the focus for this show. I do hope that you'll keep this frequency called Otherware locked for the next 2 hours. Get prepared for your mind to be amazed and for a deeper sense of harmony and well-being to be restored to your body and your emotions through the very special and very sacred sounds you're about to hear. That's all when Otherware continues.
On the line.
I'm very honoured to welcome this week's guest to Otherware. He is someone I've admired for many years, first through listening to his interviews, reading interviews, and then through participating in several global meditations on worldpuja.org, which have always included the use of sound and chants. I believe that in the body of my guest's work are some of the most profound keys to unlocking our inner spiritual technologies and understanding the building blocks of manifestation. Together we'll be exploring one of my favourite subjects, music and the transformative power of sound to heal and perhaps even awaken new creative potentials within us. My guest is none other than sound healer Jonathan Goldman. He's a writer, musician, chant master, and teacher, as well as an authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. Jonathan has published numerous books over a 25-year career and is the author of Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, and Tantra of Sound, co-authored with his wife Andy. He has studied with masters of sound from both the scientific and spiritual traditions, including the Dalai Lama's chanting Gyoto and Gyumi monks, and he has been empowered by the chant master of the Drepung Losling Monastery to teach Tibetan overtone chanting. Jonathan, it's a delight to have the opportunity to speak with you. Welcome.
Well, thank you so very much, Liz. It is a delight to be here and to be talking to you and all your wonderful listeners.
I just want to say at the outset, thank you for all of your incredible work and the contribution that you've made to our planet, and for assisting others to become more empowered through working and playing with sound. It's such an incredible career that you've had. It's 25 years. You've put out multitudinous numbers of publications and CDs, and you've done some incredible collaborative work projects as well with people like Greg Braden and Dr. Len Horowitz. So I'm very excited to be speaking with you and to really spend some time today getting into your work and finding out especially about some of your latest projects and some of the latest research that you may have found out about involving sound.
Well, Liz, I first want to just thank you for that honoring. I'm deeply touched. Thank you.
Well, I really do feel as though I'm speaking with somebody who in the future will be considered someone who assisted greatly with the new paradigm that's being created on our planet at the moment. And sound and light are what I believe to be what created everything. And so being able to have a chat with you, and I know that you're one of the premier teachers of this in the world at the moment, is a great honour for me. And now let's get on with this with this interview.
Indeed, thank you.
And let's begin with one of the most famous lines that people in the world know, and that is, "In the beginning was the word." The use of sound and the mentioning of sound in sacred texts is something that we're all very, very familiar with. And so as that seems to be a pretty good jumping off point for our discussion, could you just have a chat with us about some of the ancient texts and how they describe the use of sound in the creation?
Do I get my internet, Ethernet soapbox to stand up there and go, "In the beginning was the word, and the Lord said, let there be light"? The act of sound actually preceding light, and the fact that if you examine the basic tenets of the various spiritual traditions on the planet, you find that they have a commonality in their understanding that life, the universe, and everything was created through sound. In the Vedic traditions, in the beginning was Brahman, with whom was the Word, and the Word was Brahman. In the ancient Egyptian text, the god Thoth would think of an object, speak its name, and bring it into being. In the Americas, in the Hopi tradition, the spider woman sings the song of creation over the inanimate forms on the planet and gives them life. In the Mayan tradition, they have a book called the Popol Vuh that talks about the first real men and women being created solely through the power of the word. In the Polynesia, far east, you have the gods and goddesses either blowing a conch shell or hitting a giant gong and bringing into existence the world and all the various multifolia things involved in this. And this, interestingly enough, is also what our quantum physicists are now saying. It was my pleasure to be doing a presentation a few years ago at a conference, and probably one of the most preeminent physicists by the name of Michio Kaku, the man who basically one of the more extraordinary beings on the planet, talking about super string theory. I walked up to him and I said, "Dr. Kaku, I'm Jonathan Goldman. I'm doing a presentation on sound healing. We don't know each other, but I have a feeling that you and I are going to be saying a whole lot of the same thing, And the first words out of his mouth were basically something like, Einstein was not totally correct, Bohr was not totally correct, everything is music. And I thought, well, that's great.
My goodness, it's not the sort of thing you expect to come out of a quantum physicist's mouth.
Well, you know, more and more. And I mean, Liz, if you think about it, they call it the super string theory.
Oh, I know. It's quite an incredible analogy, isn't it?
Right. I have a son who now he's 18, but about 14 or 15, we began watching some shows on television about this process. And he said, you know, why don't we just call it, admit to the fact that everything is in vibration, everything is in sound. And I said, well, that would not be scientific enough, and that would be too easy. We must make it very, very complex by the concept of these multidimensional strings being around there. But of course, it really is one of the primary, indeed, if you like, secrets of the universe, is that everything is in a state of vibration. And if I can continue for a moment on this, I want to just say that sound as a phenomena, as an energy form, travels as a wave. This wave is measured in cycles per second, and we hear from around 16 of these cycles a second to around 16,000. A young child might be able to hear upwards of 20,000 cycles a second, but I would really like, if possible, for you and your listeners, and I know that you already do this, perceive of sound as being much greater than that simply that falls within our audible bandwidth. Our friends in the ocean, the dolphins, for example, can hear upwards of 180,000 cycles a second. That is more than 10 times our highest realm of hearing. To us, there's nothing going on, yet to dolphins, they are able to exchange encyclopedic information.
Yes, I would love to talk to you a little bit more about the dolphins a little later on in the interview, but it just goes to show, doesn't it, how narrow the range is that we as humans have to perceive light and sound.
Yes, and, you know, I mean, what's, just going on with, you know, that metaphor that everything's in vibration, you know, we don't think of this, but of course the chairs we may be sitting on, this floor, everything is in a state of vibration, including our bodies.
Yes.
So every organ, every bone, every tissue, every part of the body is in a state of vibration. And when we are in a state of health here, at least in the States, because you're talking in the United States right now, you know, we say, well, we're in sound health. And indeed, if you perceive of the body as being this wonderful overall orchestra that is playing this wonderful symphony of the self, the suite of the self, with all the different parts of the body just in resonance and harmony together, then the question is, what happens if the second violin player loses their sheet music? They begin to play the wrong notes, the wrong... Right, and it, you know, what it is then is, you know, that part of the body is vibrating out of ease, out of harmony. We call this dis-ease. So this is analogous to the string player having the wrong notes. This is analogous to the condition of something being dis-eased. And from our perspective, if you can simply restore the string player back to sheet music and somehow create the correct resonant frequency of that part of the body or the etheric layers that are vibrating out of harmony, you can basically create a curative response.
Yes. There's been some incredible work actually done in this field, and I believe that nowadays there are actually surgeons who are able to operate on fetuses in utero simply by using sound waves to do very, very delicate surgical procedures, but with minimal impact to the mother or the child. And that, to me, is just incredible. I've also heard about, spinal injuries being healed simply through the use of sound. What do you know about this kind of work?
Nothing. But I can speculate. I was just recently sent an article from I believe it was a Dutch scientific medical magazine where they're talking about that, the interconnecting neurons in the brain are stimulated not through electricity but through sound.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, kind of cool. So, I mean, you know, it's truly amazing. Obviously, I've been in this field for a really long time, and, you know, I work with all sorts of toys, you know, machines, instruments, tuning forks, recordings, etc., for using sound as a healing modality. But, Liz, I got to say that I think that the most extraordinary instrument that we all have, and it's something that every human has, and doesn't require electricity, doesn't require batteries, and the owner's manual is relatively easy to use, and it's free, and that is our voice. Mm-hmm. We all are able to actually use our voice as a tool for healing.
Yes.
Now, I am not talking about getting up and singing, well, you know, it's the Strangers in the Night or the Australian version of I actually don't know which national anthem is. But here we would say the Star Spangled Banner or something like that, which is a treacherous song to sing. And this is, you know, so once again, you know, so doing something like that is a form of entertainment. But we're not talking about entertainment when we're talking about using sound as a healing modality. Here we're talking about a phenomenon called entrainment, which means being able to shift or change our frequencies with another vibration. And we can learn to use our own voice and our own sound to do that. And I think maybe later on in the program we'll probably experiment a little bit with this.
Yeah, I think the listeners will be very interested to participate, and that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
You know, it's interesting when you said to me, I'm going to start off with that first quote, and I thought you were going to say, you said it in the beginning of the word, I thought you were going to quote Edgar Cayce, who said that the future medicine would be sound. And, you know, we are indeed in the future now.
We certainly are. And I think he wasn't alone in saying that. A long, long time ago, in the writings of Alice Bailey, there were numerous occasions when the use of sound was talked about in terms of how the ancients employed it, but also how we will get to a point where, you know, healing with sound will become the norm. And not only healing with sound, but perhaps even constructing new buildings with sound.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, you know, sound has the ability to not only destroy, but to create and to heal. As we know, we can shatter a glass with sound as well.
Well, I mean, it's interesting you mention that because I'm working on a new book. It's going to be out. It's going to be finished in a couple of weeks for a company called Hay House, who are a wonderful company. And this one, I actually talk about. In none of my other books have I talked about it before, but this one I actually just mentioned the fact that there are two modalities of healing. One of them is to either reinforce the vibrations of, for example, and giving the string player back their sheet music, as we said, reinforcing the vibrations perhaps of an organ so that any cattle frequencies can be thrown off. But the other aspect is actually using sound in a destructive manner, which is, of course, how they work with ultrasound in the hospitals for kidney stones, etc. But at the same time, in, you know, many modalities, you'll get the frequency of a particular virus or something and shatter it like glass.
Yes. Yes. I think that's the way that Rife technology works.
Yes, that's right.
And they find the resonant frequency of the bacteria or the virus and shatter it. And it doesn't affect any of the other tissues in the region where they're attacking just the virus. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the work of I have a friend by the name of Fabien Marmont, who's a French acupuncturist and sound healer. And some years ago, he did these wonderful photographs. And basically, with this one, he would basically take a xylophone, and using the xylophone, he would go up the scale while he was photographing cancer cells. And somewhere, he would go up C-sharp, D, E, and going up the scale, do-do-do-do-do, and somewhere around the note B, the cancer cell actually exploded, while the healthy cells around it, because they were not static and rigid, the sound just passed through them. So, I mean, there was another example of how sound can be used as a healing modality.
That is so wild. Do you know if anything has been done with that research to take it further?
No, I mean, you know, it's interesting. If you go to my website, which is www.healingsounds, and that's sounds with an S at the end, .com, I have some pretty interesting pictures, including some heat thermography photographs that were done of myself when I was doing these vocal harmonics, which we may talk about, but making self-created sounds that sound something like, and you can see during that whole thing that the changes in the skin temperature of my head were just really outrageous, and there were just major, major shifts occurring, which indicated that not only the skin temperature, but the organ underneath it, meaning, of course, the brain, et cetera, was being activated. And the doctor who took these said, you know, were you doing some sort of visualization? I said, no, I was actually projecting the harmonics to different parts of my brain. But what is interesting about this is probably within the last month I've been talking with a doctor from Harvard University about these, and I sent them the these pictures, which are on our website line. And I think at some point now, particularly since they're talking about, once again, you know, the neural synaptic connections being stimulated by sound and not electricity, you may get some doctors finally doing some research, which will probably ultimately give somebody a Nobel Prize. Liz, it seems as though, unless there are pharmaceuticals involved, you know, a lot of people are not interested in doing research these days. Right. I can speculate on that, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Okay, Jonathan, there is something that I've always wanted to ask you, and it's about, you know, how you've been able to work with so many different people over the years in workshops and through other gatherings. And have you been able to discern any difference between the way men and women hear sounds? Is there any difference that you can perceive there?
Liz, I'm going to begin by saying something which is, I think, extremely important. And so that rather than even you know, gendifying or gendification with regard to hearing, which of course is a reality, I'm going to go even further and say that we are all unique vibratory beings. And not only do we experience sound differently, we receive sound differently, but we're also going to be hearing sound differently. So what you're saying is also very, very true. I have a very dear friend who's an engineer and a male, although, you know, as many of the more conscious beings, we try to embody both male and female energy. And he is aware, in terms of when he's doing mixings of recordings, that certain sounds, which men may find either non-bothersome or even soothing, women frequently will find a little annoying. I thought that was fascinating. So I do try to, and of course what I do is, with any of my recordings, I don't know if she's my better half or my higher half, or my wife Andy, who is the co-author of the book Tantra Sound, with me, I always play and work, and I say, how does this sound? And she'll listen to it and give me her feedback, and then I'll make shifts and changes, because it's what you just said. Yes, I mean, not only men and women, but individuals uniquely hear and receive sound as well as make sound and are affected by sound differently.
Well, that makes perfect sense. One of the most famous sounds that you work with, I guess you could say, is the R sound.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It's a sacred seed syllable. Would you please expand on that for the audience?
In my first book, a long, long time ago, which I wrote somewhere around in the mid-1980s, I came up with a system of using vowel sounds to resonate the chakras. And I did not come up with the concept of using vowels to resonate the chakras. I simply came up with a particular system, which I've been using since then, and that's probably now going on 20 or more years. But one of the sounds in particular that not only I, but almost everybody I encountered found that the ah sound is a sound that resonates the energy of the heart. And the heart chakra, of course, is the center of compassion. It's the center of love. It's the center of loving kindness and forgiveness and all that stuff. And it's also, this ah sound is a sound that is found in so many of the god and goddess names on the planet. Buddha, Krishna, Yeheshua, which is the ancient name of the Christ energy, Tara, Saraswati, Kuan Yin, the ah sound, Wakantanka. One could go on and see that this ah sound is found in all Yahweh, all these different divine names, and it's also in many, many traditions considered, the vowels are considered sacred sounds, and indeed, as you're saying, seed syllables. And one of the reasons I frequently like to use them, particularly when I'm doing really large worldwide broadcasts, is that even something as for you and I as, shall we say, taken for granted as the OM sound, here in the United States, you might find some people who have some sort of fundamentalist background belief system that is, making an OM would be working with a heathen sound, so they won't do it. But no one on the planet can have any difficulty making a vowel sound.
That's right.
Just because this vowel sound happens to resonate the energy of the heart and be really useful for generating the energy of compassion, love, and, you know, forgiveness, well, that's just part of the territory.
Well, I remember the very first World Sound Healing Day in 2003 on February 14, Valentine's Day.
Gosh,
I was
a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. I was listening to that broadcast, and I was very excited about it because I had already participated in a couple of other prior ones on worldpuja.org that you had been involved in, and it just sounded like such a great idea. Would you tell the listeners about what the intention was behind creating the World Sound Healing Day? And it's an annual event.
It is, and it's no longer happening on World Puja. Bless them, they're doing their own thing. So I've been doing it on a number of different internet radio stations, including one called HealthyLife.net, and there's also our friend Zakai, I believe you know,
yes,
who's got his... All One Now Network or whatnot, but the idea basically is that sound amplifies intentionality. In my book, Healing Sounds, and in other books, I have a formula which uses frequency, that's the sound, plus intent, and that's the energy behind the sound, equals healing. Or another way of saying it is vocalization plus visualization equals manifestation. So if we take this ah sound and we visualize and feel the energy of compassion and love, and you know, Liz, I think we're going to be doing this later on, aren't we?
We are.
So then we can make the sound and project it. And as I like to say, there is a reason why prayers in most of the major traditions are spoken aloud. It's because sound amplifies prayer. Sound amplifies our intention. You know, my dear friend Greg Braden, as well as other people, have talked about, the power of meditation and prayer to actually shift the very fiber of consciousness of the planet. And I like to take it one step further and say, yes, and if we add prayer and sound together, we have this unbeatable combination, meditation and sound together. We have this wonderful, wonderful, powerful energy that can shift the very consciousness of the planet. So I think it's so very, very important. So every year on World Sound Healing Day, which is, do you have Valentine's Day there in Australia?
Yes, we do.
On February 14th, we have people just sounding throughout the planet, generating this energy, this wonderful wave of light and love through sound, and it's really, really powerful and important. People can feel it, and actually there seems to have been some measurements that indicate through some, various projects that have been going on that measure global consciousness, that there is actually a waveform that is measurable and does affect the entire planet. What a blessing.
Oh, it's a huge blessing. So what we're actually doing when we're all collectively toning around the world at the same time is we're literally sending a wave of energy that's carrying all of those intentions for peace, for compassion, for love, and we're literally infusing the energy grids of the earth with it, aren't we?
Indeed. It's beautifully said, too. Very beautifully said. I think I'm going to be quiet and give you a chance to speak for a moment. I realize I've been carrying on a bit, you know.
Well, I have to tell you, that day when I participated and toned, I was all alone. I was sitting in my bedroom. Actually, no, I was sitting in my lounge room. I had the computer hooked up to my stereo speakers, and I had the sound of the group that was gathered where you were broadcasting from, all toning. And I believe that there were quite a large number of people all around the world who tuned in for that broadcast who were also participating. And even though I was physically alone, I must tell you that I did not feel alone. And it didn't take very long at all for me to feel that. It was pretty much instant. At the moment I began toning, I felt my heart literally vibrating in my chest. And so even though I'd heard you speak about how the R sound resonates with the heart, it wasn't until that moment that I really got that. And I really physically felt the vibration within my heart center. And then as I was toning, it felt like I had a pipe organ inside me. I don't know if it was the collective energy of everybody else toning at that time, but I've never heard myself produce such tones. And that was extraordinary. The feeling of connectedness was the most profound thing, though. And, you know, being of service is something that is very important to me. And so having that opportunity to connect with people at the heart in such a way, using sound, was a real revelation. And it's something that I want to do as often as I possibly can now. So what have been some of your experiences through being the director of World Sound Healing Day? What kinds of things have you witnessed in amongst the people who've been with you, or have you heard from people who've emailed you or called later on to recount their experiences?
It's so interesting. As you're talking to me, my mind is going somewhere else. I'm going, I must tell her about the Temple of Sacred Sound. So if in this segment I don't get to the Temple of Sacred Sound, please remind me, because it so ties in.
Oh, yes.
It's the next project, and it is exactly what you're talking about, or what you were experiencing, except what if we were able to do this on the Internet 24/7, and what if you were able to actually hear your own voice chiming in and combining with the voices of thousands of people throughout the planet at the same time at a specific place on the Internet?
Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about that. How far away, just quickly, how far away is it from being a reality?
Well, I'm sitting here scratching my head, and I've got a number of different people, some very well-known software developers and some very, very well-known philanthropists, et cetera, who seem to be, you know, quite engaged in the possibility of this. So I think perhaps not as far away, because I think it's very, very important. But so we'll get back to that in a moment. I don't know if we need to take a break real soon.
But we have a couple of minutes.
Okay. So just in general, in terms of World Sound Healing Day, oh gosh, I've just got, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of emails from people from throughout the planet who have, you know, experienced extraordinary, profound activities while making that ah sound. So all I can tell you, Liz, is that you are not alone in your experience. It seems to be what goes on. I'll tell you what is we've been doing in Boulder the last few years. Is that we have a gathering, and then it's free, and usually a couple hundred people come, and in the middle of this circle, we have a quartz crystal bowl filled with water. And at the end of the toning, we do this for about an hour, we pass out little paper cups with this water that has been toned over for an hour, you know, projecting energy, and people drink it, and it's the sweetest water that you can ever imagine, and it's almost psychotropic in terms of its effect. I mean, you drink it, all of a sudden you can just feel this energy just permeate your entire body. And I will tell you one other thing that we do here is that there's also a little bit left, maybe a quart or, you know, whatever, a liter or whatever you call it. And we take that and then we dump it into a little stream that runs into a little river that runs into this and that runs ultimately into the ocean.
Yes.
So we know that this is, you know, going in and just actually working to assist also the seven seas.
Is so wonderful, and it's so needed. I've done a little bit of that myself with water that I've chanted over and put it in the Yarra River here in Melbourne.
Right.
And that leads out to the ocean as well, and it feels wonderful to do. But I am a big fan of Dr. Emoto's work. I know you are as well. It's great to see that there are so many projects of this nature happening now with water, and that you're combining your own expertise with that research, and it's just brilliant.
Well, you've probably seen the picture. I think we have them on our website as well. There are, you know, a gazillion websites, but the two pictures that were, for me, the most profoundly, important were the picture of this water from the Fujiwara Dam, which basically looks like mud. What Dr. Emoto does, for your listeners who might not be familiar, and somebody might not have seen What the Bleep or whatnot, he takes photographs of water from different bodies of water and freezes them and then photographs them under what is called a dark field microscope. And when the water is healthy and pristine, it looks like a snowflake. And when it is polluted or filled with some sort of very imbalanced energy, it looks like mud. So this water from the Fujiwara Dam basically looks like mud. And then there's another photo taken an hour later after a priest has... I checked when I first, read that a priest had prayed over it. I said, I wonder if this is really a vocal prayer. So I had a good friend of mine named Kitaro, who obviously is Japanese and speaks Japanese. So I said, can you please read this and let me know if it was actually a vocal chant? And he said, yes, it was a vocal chant. And then later on, I found out that it was one of the Buddhist heart sutras that the priest was chanting over. But anyway, the end result is that this water, which had an hour before looked like mud, now one photograph looked like snowflake. So we have, once again, another example of sound coupled with intentionality, having the ability to change the very fiber of reality.
Well, we are speaking with Jonathan Goldman. He's a writer, musician, chant master and teacher, as well as an authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. We'll be back very soon. You're on bbsradio.com. My name is Liz Miller, and this is Otherwhere. We'll be back with Jonathan Goldman when Otherwhere continues.
Mark Macy, author of Spirit Faces, Truth About the Afterlife, and you're listening to Liz Miller on Otherware.
Downloading Otherware.
You've just been listening to Ultimate Om by this week's special guest, Jonathan Goldman. Taken from his CD of the same name, this is a recording of hundreds of voices chanting Om, taught in the Vedic texts as the original sacred sound source of the universe, the sound that manifested all that is. You can find this and all of Jonathan's CDs and books at healingsounds.com, which you can click on right now by going to the Otherware program info page at bbsradio.com. You'll find the link to Otherware on the right-hand side of the homepage where it says Talk Shows. That's where you can learn more about this show and find the link to the archives where you can listen to past shows that you may have missed. Hope you're enjoying our interview with Jonathan. And if you've just tuned in, Jonathan is the president of the Sound Healers Association, a non-profit organization dedicated to education and awareness of sound and music for healing. He also holds a master's degree in the independent study on sound healing from Lesley College and a lecturing member of the International Society for Music and Medicine. I'm Liz Miller, and Otherware is brought to you each week from my home in Melbourne, Australia, as a service to others' endeavour via the digital airwaves of bbsradio.com. I'm fortunate enough to be able to keep this program on the air solely through the kind support of some very special listeners out there. If you love the show, perhaps consider becoming a sponsor too, as your donations go towards paying for bandwidth fees, and they help enormously. If you have a product or service that is in keeping with the intentions behind this program, then please get in touch, as I'd love to hear from you too. If you would like to sponsor the program, all you need to do is click on the Donate tab on the Otherware bio page. bbsradio.com and myself are extremely grateful for any assistance you give. You can also find out more about me at myspace.com/LizMusic, and that's spelt LizMusic. Or you can join the Otherware Network at yahoogroups.com and begin participating in our postings and news and all kinds of fabulous stuff. And emailing me is simple. If you've got something to say, I'd love to hear it. So please send any comments or questions to LizMusic, same spelling, at iprimus.com.au. And iprimus is spelled I-P-R-I-M-U-S. And if you were listening last week, you would have heard me announce very excitedly for the first time that I'd be travelling out of Australia for the first time in 6 years to head to Peru with a small group for a week-long yoga retreat in August. We'll be meeting with Amazonian plant medicine masters and having sacred ceremony with them. And after last week's show, three of the listeners have already expressed very strong interest, and I'm very excited to say last week's guest, Lance White, a.k.a. Zany Mystic, may be coming along. Syme, who called in from Canada, is pretty determined that he'll be part of the group, and Joshua emailed me during the week too. And now it looks like we've actually got more people interested than there are places on the tour. However, we haven't had firm commitments, so if you are quick and you are really, really, really feeling the South American continent or just Peru singing to your soul lately like I have been, you'll find all the details on the Otherware homepage as well. And please do check it out. Now, let's get back to our hologram, shall we?
Hi, I'm Lisa Renee, and as a galactic emissary, I always listen to Liz Miller on Otherware.
BBS Radio.
This okay. is the Temple of Sacred Sound.
Okay, I better compose myself. You're listening to Otherwhere on bbsradio.com. We're back with Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan, let's get into that Temple of Sacred Sound that you mentioned in our previous segment. I'm very intrigued.
Well, I am too, Liz, and simply because for me, you know, I'm working on many, many different projects. As I mentioned, a new book which has a CD in it, a couple of new CDs, a DVD that's coming out, and all sorts of different events. But in order to talk to you about the Temple of Sacred Sound, I have to more or less sort of backtrack a few years. And I sort of need to do a caveat, which means sort of a warning to listeners now, because there was a comedian by the name of Lily Tomlin who said that when you talk to God, it's called praying, but when God talks to you, it's called schizophrenia. And I do indeed hear sometimes voices within, and I like to perceive that they are voices of higher aspects, if not at least myself, of, perhaps divine beings. And indeed, many of the significant events in my life have been instigated by these voices that have occurred during meditational experiences, to the degree that, for example, my first book, Healing Sounds, was literally, I was sitting meditating, and I heard this voice say, "You were to write this book," and I basically wrote notes on the book, and the book came out exactly as I had written those notes. The only change was the title, which went from being called Hermetic Harmonics to Healing Sounds, but outside of that, it was the basically same premise. And so frequently I do get, if you like, guided information from some, I like to perceive, of a divine source, although it just could be my own consciousness, which one could also assume would be a divine source anyway. I was meditating probably, 4 or 5 years ago, 3, 4. Time is difficult to track these days. And I remember sort of asking, I said, okay, about 20, 25 years ago in a meditation, I was given the assignment to help bring awareness of the uses of sound and music for healing and transformation to the public. And therefore, I began, it became my life's work, if you like, and I founded the Sound Healers Association. And for any of your listeners who are interested in that, that's www.soundhealersassociation.org, and this is probably one of the larger organizations which feature people who are working with sound and music as a healing modality. And we also have extraordinarily a listening library for people which feature some of the more extraordinary teachers on the planet that I happen to have in the 80s taped them when they came to the Sound Healers Association. And then last year I actually spent many, many hours converting them from a tape to an MP3 so they could go online and be accessible to people, because what is interesting is that sound is indeed really flourishing and growing and maintaining public awareness. Because of that, a lot of people feel that the concept of sound healing began when they first discovered it. So for many people, it's 2 or 3 years ago, and some of the real major important pioneers of 20, 25 years ago, no one has ever heard of, and we have on our website lectures from these people who have more information inherent in their lectures than most people even are aware of today. I'm backtracking a little bit. So I was in this meditation some years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and I said, okay, it feels like the use of sound and music as a healing modality has begun to really manifest on this planet, and that people are getting it. You know, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are now really actively involved in using sound for healing. What next? in anything. You know, you want me to go on vacation to Hawaii or whatnot? And I distinctly heard a voice simply say, I don't think it is that far away. And it is simply this, that one would be able to go to TempleOfSacredSound.com, which I was guided to get as a domain name some years ago, and you would then be able to sound. In, you would there would be a number of different, if you like, chambers or caverns where there would be these different, you know, you probably an om, an ah, you, and a, probably who knows, maybe a half a dozen more sounds or mantras or sacred chants from different traditions, and you could just choose whichever one that you want to go in, and then basically working with a microphone so you can hear yourself, and that's the whole point. So there's an actual feedback loop occurring. You can hear yourself sounding with people throughout the planet, meanwhile with the intention of their projecting, you know, compassion, kindness, love and light to the planet. And you know, All of this is really, really workable, and I think it's going to manifest really soon. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think this is so important.
Okay.
I'm a bit cyber-challenged. You know, I can do, you know, okay on a computer in terms of making, you know, music and sound and stuff like that, and, you know, I can do emails and all that stuff, but you know, I don't know much about computers, but I had the experience a long time ago of going to chat rooms to begin with. And, you know, I could feel the energy in the chat room, and I went, wow, this is really an amazing phenomenon. And then I used to have one at our healingsounds.com. We had a Healing Sounds chat room. And we would, you know, all, you know, I'd be, you know, leading something, and all of a sudden, okay, let's make an om. And you could literally feel the om going through there as an energy form. But still, I thought, you know, the extraordinary thing currently about the internet is that it creates the neural net of the planet, if you like, the mind.
Yes.
But it is missing the heart. And the question is, okay, how do we activate the heart of the planet working with the neural net? And the answer is, well, you got it, it's sound. Okay, in Tibetan Buddhism, there are the three, there's body, mind, and speech. And speech is the interconnector. So I said, okay, well, that's why, you know, obviously things such as this internet broadcast that we're doing is so important, because it's working with the power of sound. And, you know, what if then people could really have an interactive, not only are they just listening, but they're actually able to make sound along with everyone else while they're projecting this energy of compassion. I'm very excited about this, because I think this really could change the world.
I do too. And it would be incredible to actually perform some experiments on particular locations or people or conditions in the world and see what measurable effects can be ascertained. I think there's huge potential there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Liz. In my new book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, I think I begin something like, you know, I used to be a walking encyclopedia of sound healing, but now the more experience I have, the less necessary it is for this form of, you know, knowledge, because with sound, of course, it's the experience. And, you know, I'm going to say that sometimes I feel that the experiments that are done, well, as my dear friend Greg Braden, you probably know Greg, and he's got a new book called The Divine Matrix, but basically, as he points out, and Greg is a wonderful synergizer of information, a lot of the new quantum experiments, here I am talking about my experiments, prove that there is actually no such thing as an objective experiment, because the observer doesn't exist. The observer is actually a participant. So therefore, you look at an experiment. I know so many people have done experiments with sounds, and they come up with, it's almost to me hilarious. They come up usually with the end result that the music that they've created is the most healing music on the planet. You know? It's like, hey, if that is your intention when you're going to be creating, doing an experiment, you're probably going to get that as the end result. So I am, you know, of course, always interested in, the scientific results of these types of experiments. But at the same time, if we can feel something in our heart, if we can feel the energy field, because like, as a reality base, you know, for the most part, in terms of modern science, the chakras don't even exist. The etheric fields don't even exist. Did you know that, you know, 100 years ago, not only were X-rays not in existence, but the gorilla had not even been proven to exist?
Oh, really?
So it's, you know, just because we may not have the instrumentation to adequately be able to measure something doesn't mean that something doesn't exist.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point that you bring up. And it's a sad fact that in modern times, many people actually discount their personal experiences in favor of what can be measured.
And isn't that scary?
It's incredibly scary because there's a lack of honoring of what's actually going on in someone's personal reality.
That's right.
It's something that I would love to see change.
Indeed. Well, you know, once again, I say scary, but it isn't scary. Isn't that intriguing? Because I only like to really try to work with the energy of compassion and kindness and not get into the whole fear mode. So it's not scary. It's just simply intriguing that people should fall prey to such a conception that they don't really honor, indeed, as you're saying, their own experiences.
Yes, but, you know, working with sound is one of the very best ways that I've been able to find in my own experience to do that. And it's pretty hard not to, really, honor an experience that you're having with sound, because sometimes, you know, it feels as though, depending on where you are, I mean, you can be in a concert, you could be listening to a choir, you can just be toning on your own. And at times, you can have that experience of just hearing the sound in every part of your body, not just sort of as if it were coming in through your ears. And that's a wonderful thing to have happen and to feel. I'd love to continue a little bit on about the voice, and you mentioned that it's the most powerful healing tool that we have, and as you know, that's part of why I do this show, is to focus on things that are part of our own multidimensional anatomy, and part of that anatomy is our vocal cords and our ability to use them in ways that can create shifts in energy and hopefully bring healing. So where I'd like to go with this is, I believe that there is a tone that has a particular frequency that you can make with your voice that directly affects our DNA. Do you know what that frequency is?
Okay, I'm going to backtrack and not answer that one yet, because I want to talk about a couple of other things.
Sure.
If that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Talking about the voice. And I think one of the reasons why the voice, from my perspective, is the most healing of instruments is simply, number one, that we can create with ourselves an internal massage. All other sounds come from outside in, but the voice, as we make sound, goes from the inside out. So it, A, is more powerful and effective that way. And number two, and this is, I think, the real thing is the fact that the voice is the predominant, it's the easiest, it's the most natural way of carrying intentionality. So that you are, whether you like it or not, projecting intention anytime you speak, anytime you make a sound. It just always happens. And Liz, by the way, I read voices, and you project lots of light and love on your sound when you speak, so no wonder your listeners will probably be experiencing wonderful healing just simply through listening to your talks. I wanted to tell you that. But it's really, really the use of the voice as a healing instrument. It's because we can project our vocalization, we can project our intentionality onto the voice. And we've all experienced this. we've been at a party somewhere and somebody comes up to us and they say, in a really sort of sarcastic tone, someone we have some difficulty with, and they go, oh, lovely to see you. And, you know, the words may have been, you know, lovely to see you, but you feel like you've been psychically slimed or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, you feel, oh, you know, almost attacked or abused by their words. So, you know, the power of our voice with our intention is really, really powerful. And what's also interesting is that if you think about it, when we project emotion, when we project intention, when we project feeling onto the sound, it actually affects the tone of our voice, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, completely.
Now, so, you know, I wanted to just share that with you before we get into the magic frequency phenomena.
Thanks. That was good to preface it with that. And, yeah, I'm very interested to find out about this tone that affects our DNA.
Well, if I were to say to you that I do not believe that there is a magic frequency, okay?
Oh, interesting.
That I believe I've been in this field for 25-plus years. I have literally stacks of papers with magic frequencies on there that are probably 4 feet high in terms of people who have sent me different frequencies that they've used. And I'd just like to suggest, as we were talking about before, if you have a belief that a particular sound is going to have an effect, do you think it's going to have the effect?
Of course.
Of course. Now, I will say, and once again, this is based upon these are some experiments that were basically talked about in Greg's new book, The Divine Matrix, and I actually know one of the people who did these experiments is a friend of mine, but basically what they did was they took DNA and they had people project the energy of just, if you like, kindness, love, and appreciation, and this caused the DNA to basically loosen up and almost unravel. It didn't, but it basically was allowed to therefore evolve and change, as opposed to the energy of anger, hatred, emotion, which made it so brittle it almost snapped. Now, this I can believe 100%, because we are not talking about a specific frequency.
Yes, okay.
For example, if I can just continue for a moment,
mm-hmm.
There are some folks who have created a tuning fork that they say it's in the key of ohm. And, you know, then people say, oh, gee, well, this is the frequency of ohm. Liz, you and I both know that you can make I can go, ohm, 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 boom. You can do an ohm in any key, and you will still have an ohm. There is no frequency of ohm. You know, one of the things that has occurred with the use of, with the basic awareness and growth of sound as a healing modality and more people becoming interested in it is that there is more and more misinformation. So I definitely believe, I mean, I have a recording called Holy Harmony.
Yeah, well, I'd be interested to find out, you know, how you came up with the sounds that you did come up with for that recording.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is, you know, these frequencies, the frequencies came from Len Horowitz, and one of them is supposed to be the frequency of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll honor that that's in his belief system. And if it's in your belief system, then you create it as a reality.
Right.
And I have personally listened to this recording, and I've seen it basically encode what I call the Christ light onto the DNA. So I've seen it, and I am aware that this happens.
Oh, you're going to have to expand on that. Sorry, I can't let you just to say that and then run off and talk about something else. Exactly what do you mean by encoding the Christ frequency upon the DNA?
Okay. The first thing I wanted to say was that the experience that I had was based upon the entire totality of the frequencies working together in combination with each other, as well as the chant that was utilized with it. So in other words, as you may know, I have a number of different albums, and I multi-track them. I really believe that sacred sounds can work together. So to do a real quick little backpedaling backstory was that there was a book called Healing Codes, and in the Healing Codes were, I found on one page these six healing frequencies. I had tuning forks created from that. I used these tuning forks on a recording called The Lost Chord, which is quite wonderful, and that The Lost Chord actually has a chants from the Hindu, Hebrew, and Tibetan traditions, and it's a journey not only through the chakras, but through the Kabbalistic tree of life. And these tuning forks kind of sound a little bit like the transporter. And that was the sixth of them. And then I was speaking to Dr. Lynn Horowitz, as you mentioned his name, and he gave me the three missing frequencies. And I had tuning forks cut to that. And then on Christmas Eve, I just, as an experiment, if you like, I was guided. I first of all recorded the sound of these tuning forks, and then I did a chant that I had been sitting on or had, you know, gotten in dream time about 5 years before. And the chant was, I then later researched it and found that in certain books that it was an ancient chant that would honor the energy of the Christ, that it was said to be the, if you like, it's called the Pentagrammaton, or the five-letter name for the Christ energy, which is Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He. And I put them together. And it just, it was like a sonic sacred peanut butter and jelly sandwich, if you like. It was just, it just worked amazingly and was profound. And I ultimately released it, and the response from people has been amazing, amazing. Should we give a little listen to this?
Yes, actually, I would love to hear some of that, if you could share some with the audience.
Okay, so if you can give me about, 1 minute to take a breath and get this together, and then this, we're going to be listening to a little bit of Holy Harmony, which is a combination of the five tuning forks, obviously of the nine tuning forks coupled with this chant, Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He, and here it comes now. Thank you.
can just hear how it shifts your energy instantly and brings one into a wonderfully centered and peaceful state of mind.
Well, thank you. And I like to believe, Liz, that part of that is the frequency of the tuning forks. Part of that is the wonderful chant that I did with myself. And this is the woman who actually initiated me into sound, Sarah Benson, is doing the female voice. And we were both, once again, our intention when we did that was basically to honor and invoke and bring in what I call the Christ light, which is not this, I believe that the Christ energy, if you like, is a sort of very, very different than the fundamentalist viewpoint of, what one might perceive of, just as I believe that the Buddhic energy, we were talking about, Alice Bailey and stuff like that, where these are, if you like, interdimensional energy forms that are not religious forms, but they are basically vibrational frequencies or waveforms.
Yes, so what you're doing is, it's beyond religion and ideology, and it's much more in alignment with pure spirit. I don't know if there's a better way for me to say that. I'm sure there is, but that's just how it feels to me. It's not of the earth.
Right. Well, there does seem to be such a difference between, religion and spirituality.
There is.
And,
it's a huge difference.
You know, by gosh and by golly, this is a whole other topic. But more tragedy has occurred in the name of religion. On this planet, in terms of my God's name is this and your God's name is this, and let's fight about it, and because one of us is right, and if we win, then God is on our side, and it's so crazy. Because God,
it is crazy to think that our religious institutions are much more interested in creating division than unity.
Exactly. And once again, and from my perspective, and from the perspective, I'm sure, of many folks such as yourself, God, Goddess, the Divine, is just this amorphous field of light and love.
Yes. We're speaking with Jonathan Goldman. He's the author of many books, but probably some of the most famous are Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, which you can find on Inner Traditions, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, which is on Spirit Music, and Tantra of Sound, which he co-authored with his wife, Andy. And when we come back, I'll ask Jonathan about his relationship with Andy and about the work that they have done together, how sound may have enhanced their relationship. And we're going to get into a whole lot of other subjects, but I'm really looking forward to, in our final segment, which is just about to come up, a wonderful guided exercise into sound that Jonathan and I will guide you through. So you're listening to bbsradio.com. My name is Liz Miller. I'm your host, and you're listening to Otherwhere. We'll be back real soon. To Otherwhere on bbsradio.com, and we're joined this week by our fabulous guest Jonathan Goldman, sound healer, and you can find him on the net, by the way, at healingsounds.com. Jonathan, there are so many topics that I'd like to cover in the next 20 minutes before we go off into our guided exercise. So I don't want to spend too much time on each one of these, but if we could try and get to as many as possible, I'd be so grateful. The first thing that I wanted to ask you about was you have a fabulous relationship with your wife, Andy Goldman, and you've collaborated together on various projects. I'd love to find out, firstly, about the book that you've put out, Tantra of Sound, and is there an accompanying CD with that?
Yes, there is an accompanying CD which is, if you like, the sounds that we talk about in the book. So, for example, if you read and now make a nur sound, N-U-R-R, that means nothing, but if you hear the then it really gives you much more of an idea of the sound. So we did that, and we actually have another CD called the Tantra of Sound Harmonizer, which is not included with the book, but that one is the first recording to simultaneously balance the left and right hemispheres of the brain as well as the chakras, which is a neat thing. But one thing was I just really basically wanted to tell your listeners is that the book is called Tantra of Sound, and we use the term Tantra in the traditional and authentic meaning, which has been lost to many people here in the West. The word Tantra actually means the interconnecting web that unites all of reality. Some people call it the field. Some people call it the matrix. Some people call it Indra's net. But it is basically the interconnecting web that creates and unites all of reality. And as we were talking about before, sound is the substance that, if you like, creates and manifests this. The actual word Tantra comes from, it's a Sanskrit word that comes from the two words, tattva, which means the sacred science of, and mantra, which is vibration. So, with our book Tantra of Sound, it's really how to use sound to connect deeper within yourself and then connect deeper with someone else, a partner, and it doesn't have to be a spouse, a partner. It can be a friend. It can be a an offspring or something like that, but learning to make sound together, because learning to make simple sounds together can be one of the most profoundly shifting, compassionate, loving, kind, good things that we can do for ourselves.
Oh, and indeed, sure is. And anyone who's ever sung in a group certainly knows how good that feels.
Totally. And, what's interesting is that taking one step, when you get into singing and singing melodies, which is great stuff to do, and it's beautiful, but that begins to get into the entertainment phenomena that we talked about before, and then people get into the judgments of their voice, etc. But if you just get into making like the ah sound or the om sound, it bypasses also that aspect of your brain that basically, has to deal with words and lyrics and all this other stuff, and you really get into, from our perspective, much more of the limbic system and the pure feeling aspect of sound, which really, I think, is the most powerful aspect of the work.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about what's in Tantra of Sound. What did you write about?
Well, this one mostly has to do with how to use sound to resonate the chakras. We use two specific systems. One, the vowels as mantras, and also the second, the bija mantras, which are from the Hindu tradition, and they're both very unique and separate systems of resonating the chakras. In addition, we have a whole lot of other exercises, including one that Andy is fabulous at doing, called Lullaby of the Inner Child, where you're able to actually sort of visualize and holding yourself and heal yourself just singing a wordless lullaby, not a melody, but a wordless lullaby, or something like that, while you're holding yourself with your eyes closed, and it's so healing. And the one other thing that I'm going to share, because I know we have now so many things to cover in so little time, is the fact that one of the exercises that we have that's so important is being able to make a sound with each other while you are in a perhaps a state of conflict. Now, of course, my wonderful wife and I never get into states of conflict, except that we are human, and every once in a while we'll disagree, and sure, we'll be on our way to a party, and we'll be sitting outside, and we'll have gotten into some ridiculous thing, and one of us will have the understanding or the awareness to say to the other, hey, let's make an ah sound together, or an om sound. We'll go, and we'll do that for a couple of minutes, and it'll so totally change our state of consciousness, and we will then walk in lovingly into the party and be together. And the only thing that's really important with regard to this, the idea of making sound together, is so simple. But what's really important is that you really need to, if you like, agree beforehand. When you are not in a state of conflict, when perhaps you're, you know, holding hands and in a loving state, to go, hey, you know, if we ever get into an argument, let's try to make sound together. And then you agree beforehand so that when you are in a state of conflict and one of you says, hey, you know, let's make an om together, that you have agreed to this and you do it. Because, you know, oftentimes when you're in a state of conflict, the last thing you want to do is make kind sounds to each other. Usually you want to scream some profanity at the other person, and that does a lot to really help communication. Not really at all, of course, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, that's fantastic to hear, because it was one of the questions that I really wanted to ask. You know, have you ever solved a dispute with an om?
Yes, and yes. I mean, you know, I've had visions of the folks in the UN, instead of, you know, getting up there and slamming shoes on the table or whatever, getting together and making a sound together. Gosh, can you imagine what that would be like?
I can imagine, and I would love to see it really happen. And I don't think it's impossible. I really think it's achievable.
Yeah, I've actually been invited to, you know, speak there. I haven't gone there because I haven't been doing much traveling, and you know, I get invited to a lot of places, but it's great to be able to speak to Australia and around the world right now through, through my own home and through the wonderful ingenuity of the Internet.
Yes.
Hey, so, speaking about...
Sorry,
yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to go, speaking about Andy and whatnot, would you all like to hear just a few-minute excerpt from a recording that we did called... probably my best known recording is called Chakra Chance, but on Chakra Chance 2, which is the follow-up on the crown chakra, the top center, it features my dear friend Sarah Benson, who we talked about before, and my loving wife Andy playing harp. Would you like to hear a little excerpt from that for a minute?
I definitely would. And for those who aren't quite sure, the crown chakra energetically connects us with spirit. So it's the one located right at the top of the head, and it's usually colored a lovely amethyst purple color.
And what's interesting, I like to tell people, is that the fact is that if you see a picture of a saint with a halo, that's usually an activation of a of the crown chakra.
That's
so just for a moment.
Wonderful to mention, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the moment, let's hear a couple of minutes of this. It's very lovely.
hope everybody was focusing on their crown chakra when they were listening to that. I felt a few tickles right there up at the top of your head. Is that something that's typical when people listen to that piece of music?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I like it a lot.
Yeah,
so thank you for allowing me to play it.
Oh, I'm so glad that you did. It's just beautiful. And it's leading us in towards that wonderful sound at the end of the program. But before we go there, tell me just briefly, if you could, and if you don't mind, how has your relationship with Andy been enhanced through working with sound in the way that you do? Besides, you know, the odd dispute, how else has it affected your relationship? And I don't know if you can share a story with us.
Well, I mean, I really think that some of the sounds that we listen to are just really profoundly powerful vibrational shifting tools. I think both of us have our consciousnesses enhanced, and once again, being able to also learn to, if you like, resolve conflict with sound certainly has made it really wonderfully smooth sailing. I like to say sometimes that I'm the embodiment of the angel of sound, and that my wife Andy is the embodiment of the angel of love, and you can't do much better than that, Liz. I'll tell you, I am grateful and I give thanks every day.
Have you ever worked with sound on each other for healing specific ailments?
Oh, sure.
Is there anything you might be able to share with that?
Well, it just, you know, we have many different tools, so we work with everything from our voices to tuning forks to Tibetan bowls to crystal bowls to different instruments and implements that I have for healing, and it's very, very effective, so I give thanks for that. I mean, one of the things that I try not to do, people say, well, tell me, what sort of conditions can be healed through sound? And I personally don't like to say, well, you can heal A, B, or C, because then people go and they try to have it, and if they don't have the experience, they're let down.
Yes.
And as I said, I think we're all unique vibratory beings, but I'm going to give you a little quote from the New York Times science section from February 8, 1988. Sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. So I say to people, if you can rearrange molecular structure, the potential ability of sound to heal and transform is limited only by your own consciousness. And that perhaps is one of the things that you may have picked up as we talk today, is that I'm very much into not creating boundaries in terms of our consciousness, nor boundaries in terms of sound. Sound is sacred. And to simply say that this sound will only do this because it's a three-dimensional thing is really not honoring the power of sound.
Yes.
In the beginning was the word, and that word, that sound, was something much more than a simple three-dimensional thought form.
Yes, well said. And let's just quickly jump back to that human-dolphin connection that we started off the show with. I know that you've done a little bit of work alongside some dolphins and that you're friends with Joan Ocean, who is a very respected dolphin researcher in Hawaii. Were you able to share any information about the connection that human beings have in terms of the way that we hear and the way that dolphins transmit sounds, and how there's obviously a very profound shifting that occurs when many people interact with dolphins and hear the sounds that they produce?
Liz, I have too much material to, I feel it would be dishonoring of the subject. You may or may not know that the very first album that I ever commercially released was called Dolphin Dreams.
Yes.
And, Joan is now into sound in a big way, and I think that that has to do with a particularly interesting experience that I had. It's a really good story, and unfortunately one that I think would take too long because we've got too much other real good stuff to do.
Okay.
So let's hold that for another time, okay?
Yeah, we'll save that one.
All right.
Have you ever had one of those gateway experiences at the Monroe Institute and experienced the binaural beats and how those sounds have been able to create a whole brain state? Have you done anything along those lines?
Sure. And, you know, I have the equipment to do that. And we actually utilize that on not only the Tantra Sound Harmonizer, but a couple of other things. And I think it's good. I think the combination of all the different psychoacoustic effects coupled, and not only the gateway stuff, the Monroe stuff, but these, for example, tuning forks, different whole ratios, and as well as working with sacred sound, all of those synergistically work together to create a profound, profound experience that can shift and change your life, because sound is vibration, and if you can get the right vibration going, anything is possible. Mm. You can achieve divinity.
Yeah, that's great. And one of your LPs or CDs was entitled Infinite Om. I'm very, very interested in some of the infrasound research into the Om sound. Apparently, with an infrasound microphone, the Om sounded by one person can actually travel in infrasound waves up to a mile away from the person. And I thought that was just incredible when I heard that. Have you done any research or looking into that sort of field with infrasound?
Well, I know about infrasounds, also known as extremely low frequencies. And once again, this is a whole other thing. And you know, I think the Om is wonderful. I think that infrasound is wonderful. You know, indeed, elephants can make this infrasound, this very, very low sound, and it can, as can whales, and it can travel for miles and miles. But, I mean, I think one needs to realize that they may have been talking about the of a Tibetan monk rather than the Om, which doesn't quite have the same frequency level. But that once again, is also, there's so much information around, and I'm hoping that we can really, you know, source out what is true from what people are claiming.
Mm, yeah.
Just a thought.
I love your discerning mind, by the way. It's been very fun to chat.
Yeah, and I believe in all sorts of different things. And I think, you know, since, you know, I'm not into limitations of, you know, or boundaries and this and that, I think we can create our own realities. And, you know, it's a little bit like, remember the movie Dumbo and the Magic Feather?
Oh, yeah.
And Dumbo could fly. Well, I believe elephants can fly. And, you know, just, you know, but I just, you know, Dumbo didn't need the magic feather. And if you put too much relevance into any one object or any one sound or any one this and that, then you are not doing the true aspect of your limitless potential any great service.
Mm. Well, we're coming up to the end of our chat time together. I'd love to find out, when you go home and you want to listen to music that isn't your own, what is your favourite style of music to listen to, or do you have a favourite piece of music that you favour above all others?
Liz,
that's probably hard for a sound healer.
Well, no, I mean, it's simply this. It'd be a little bit like my saying to you, what's your favourite food?
Mm.
Because reality is, you know, if your favourite food was steak, but if you ate it every day, you know, oh, well, I really want some seafood, or I want some fresh vegetables. So, you know, besides my music, which I listen to a lot, I listen to other types of things, and it depends. If I'm driving in a car, I will listen to perhaps some pop music, or I have an 18-year-old son, and he turns me on to certain types of music that so I can stay in attunement with, you know, with younger people, not be some sort of you know, old folks who says, oh, you know, and I love the Beatles and the blues and jazz and classical. It's like every aspect of music is just this wonderful, wonderful shade of color of the spectrum. And, it's a nutrition for our mind, our body, and our spirit. And I just, therefore, think that we should all have a very balanced diet.
And finally, let's have a chat about the upcoming 12th annual Healing Sounds Intensive. It's happening this year in July in Loveland, Colorado.
Yes, what a great name, Loveland.
Oh,
so this
great.
Is the 12th one. We get about 100 people there. We go from about 9 in the morning till 9 at night. And it's a combination of, it's a training, and at the same time we have, it's a really extraordinarily powerful experiential event. And as you can, as you might note, that I do not confuse sacred and solemn. So we have a really good time because it says make a joyful noise. And we have some guest teachers, including, for example, the chant master of the, you know, the most famous chanting Tibetan monk, among other people, who come and, share with us. And it's just an amazing experience. And a lot of it is geared toward, personal healing, but we do also a tremendous amount for assisting planetary, what I call, acceleration. And it's just great. And we every year we have at least one person from Australia. So if somebody's listening, know that we have people from every continent, from every just level. We have people who are neophytes, and we have some of the great master teachers actually come to learn with us. So it's just fabulously fun.
Well, we haven't even had a chance to chat today about some of the experiences that you've had with chant masters from Tibet, and I'm sure when we get another chance to chat again, that's one of the first things I'm going to be asking you. I'm sure you've had some incredible experiences. But may I ask, have you ever... with these healing sounds intensives, how long do they go for?
9 days, and once again, we start at 9 in the morning, we end at around 10 at night, because at night we do, every night we do a chant with drumming and dancing to a different deity to invoke a different energy form that really grounds it, and it's just so much fun. I mean, every year, when it gets done, I simply go, well, thank you, Spirit, for allowing me to participate in this event. Forget the fact that I perhaps am the person who facilitates it. Just being part of it is incredible.
And I have to get this one in. I'm so sorry. I just have to ask. After 9 days of some serious chanting, have you seen people's bodies change in any way? Have you... I mean, I can just imagine the vibrations must increase within people's own energy fields to such a degree that I wouldn't be surprised if people disappeared every now and then.
Well, we haven't lost any people. That's one of the things that I'm very, very good at doing, is making sure that ultimately, because the idea is that the we're going to create major frequency shifts with these people, and then... let them go back home and assist and shift and change other people. But I will say that probably the feedback that we get from almost everybody is that it's the most life-changing experience that they've ever had, and I can certainly understand it.
Yeah, well, one day I hope to join one of your groups, because I would absolutely love to do that. So, Jonathan Goldman, it's been such an honour, and thank you. It's been a wonderful conversation full of very... brilliant information. It's just been great. Thank you again.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with you, because really, through working with the power of sound, we can really, literally, not only change and transform our own physical healing and transformation, we can actually change the very reality that we coexist with.
And that's certainly what we're here to do, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed.
And why don't we do a triple chant of Om to seal that?
Okay, and I'd like to just, before that, I'd like to do an invocation. I think you really appreciate. There's a being by the name of Shamael, who is the angel of sacred sound, also known as Metatron. Mm-hmm. And this is an invocation to that, and it's very, very short, and it'll do our Oms. We invoke the spirit of Shamael, angel of sacred sound. May the sound of light surround us. May the light of sound guide us. May sacred sound come through us for the harmony of all.
So let's inhale.
Thank you.
So, to conclude our time together, Jonathan and I are going to ask all of you out there to join us in a few minutes of a guided exercise where we'll all be working with creating some sounds of our own and combining our intentions to create positive change in our world and within our own beings. So, what I'd like everybody to do is to find somewhere that's quiet, where you won't be disturbed for at least the next 10 minutes. You may want to stay where you are after the program ends too, so if you need to, unplug the phone, draw the curtains, make sure that you're warm and comfortable. And would you prefer people to be lying or sitting for this exercise, Jonathan?
Comfortable is good.
Okay.
Whatever way.
So whatever way you'd like to arrange yourself, if you're lying down, just make sure that your spine is nice and straight, and you can check by lifting your head and looking in between your feet. If you're looking straight down the center, then you know that your spine is aligned. And of course, if you're sitting up, then please do the same thing. You may not need to look down though. And take your shoulders back a little, open up the front of your chest, draw the chin down slightly towards the chest so that the back of your neck feels nice and flat. Separate your jaw, relax your tongue for a few moments, close your eyes, and allow your focus to turn towards your breath. Feel your energy grounding as your breath slows down. Take in a long, deep breath and fill your lungs completely. And just gather up all of the busyness and activity of the week, all of the thoughts that you have going around inside your mind at the moment. And then exhale and let it all go. And know that for the next 10 minutes, this is your time. Time to just be, to leave the outside world outside. You know, it'll still be there when we come back to it. Let's all connect with one another at the heart. This is a very special time in the program for me and for all of the regular listeners as we form the Otherware Circle of Lights. If you're a new listener, welcome to our circle. Thank you for adding your radiant energy to our group. And as you focus on your own individual heart, firstly, see it as a beautiful point of light. This is your light. And allow that light to radiate out to all of the others in our group. Imagine that you send a beam of light out of the left side of your heart and feel it extending out and connecting with the person on your left. If you see all of us in a circle, see that beautiful line of light energy moving into the person's heart on your left and then continuing its way all the way around our circle until it returns to your heart, carrying with it all of the loving energy, all of the intelligence and power of our group, balanced and harmonious. we connect at the heart. Think of that beautiful web of love that connects our hearts to all of the other hearts of all of the other beings on our planet. And all life everywhere. As we celebrate oneness. As we celebrate unity. Your breath is coming in gently and easily. And simply stay connected to all of us, feeling that wonderful flow of energy between us all, empowering us. Feel your shoulders and the back of your head beginning to rest more easily, either on the floor or supporting it on the wall or chair behind you. Feel the freedom around your spinal area so that the blood can flow easily around the muscles and into the spinal cord. It connects with your brain and sends those electrical messages from your body to your brain and back again. Feel all of those impulses and that energy being so easily transferred all around your nervous system and body and brain. And as you breathe, connect with each of us. Send your sacred love out into that web of love, that tantric web. As you exhale, send your love out to everybody in the group, saying, I send my sacred love to you. As you inhale, your sacred love flows into me. My sacred love flows out to you. See our web strong, infused with love, light and power, and waves of sound that carry our intention into all of the energy fields of the world and beyond. So now that we're all in a wonderfully relaxed state and connected, I'd like to hand over to Jonathan so that we can conclude our time together with a beautiful R sound.
So I'd just like to suggest as we continue that we just feel within ourselves the extraordinary, something that you really feel grateful for, something that you really feel appreciative about. And it could be a child, could be a pet, could be anything that you feel in alignment with, that you feel appreciative of, and just begin to breathe and continue breathing and breathe once again out and in from your heart, inhaling and exhaling, so that as we make this ah sound, we send this energy of appreciation out to the planet. And it's so important, because as you create this field of appreciation of breathing in and out through your heart with appreciation, that you basically create a coherent waveform between your heart and your brain, and you just magnify your own personal electromagnetic field. So now as we are breathing in and out through the heart as we've been doing, let's just gently add that ah sound to this. And we'll do just three of these ahs together. And with each of these ahs, know that the sound is permeating the planet with this wonderful pink and gold energy. And then we'll take a moment and just with our eyes closed in this, in a space of silence, just really feel and understand that we have made a difference. So taking a nice deep breath in, just gently going. So that we may be in peace and harmony, kindness and love for ourselves, for our children, and for our children's children's children. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
It was wonderful. It really was. And I know that every single person who will listen to this broadcast will feel that incredible energy that we all created together. And, many, many blessings to you.
Well, thank you so much. And blessings of love and light through sound to all who are listening to these radiant vibrations that we are manifesting.
That was an interview with sound healer Jonathan Goldman. Find him on the web at healingsounds.com and do take a look at the vast array of material there that will give you one of the most comprehensive libraries of research to learn everything you need to help you understand and experience the science and spirituality of healing with sound. You've been listening to Otherware. By being a part of this broadcast, you join a team of people deeply committed to the transformation of our planet for the benefit and upliftment of all. Thank you for sharing this broadcast to all those you think might like to hear it as well. This is Liz Miller signing off for another week, sending you all my love and thanks and many, many blessings. Namaste.
Download. Complete.